Amen. Well, if you guys would, go ahead and turn your Bibles over to John chapter 8 for me. We're going to jump in there real quick as everybody comes on in. And tonight, my prayer is that as we get into the Word of God, that it will inspire you, that it will inspire you to catch a vision, you know, to catch a vision at your job, at your school, in your home, wherever you are, that you will have a vision of doing some amazing things for God. But the only way that will happen is if we all remain in the vine, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. In John chapter 8, starting in verse 31, it says, and as soon as I get there we go. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Powerful scripture that we've all heard many times. And this is Jesus explaining, listen, you have to hold to my teachings if you want to know the truth. Because that same truth that I'm talking about is what's going to be that set you free. You know, as I was talking a minute ago about us catching a vision at our schools, at our jobs, in our neighborhoods, you know, even in church, you know, we got to remember that these visions that God puts on our hearts, they're for a reason. And again, we cannot achieve any of that without remaining in the vine. But what I want to try to accomplish tonight is to help us to realize that through all of that, you know, we aren't at these jobs for a paycheck. We aren't at these schools to get a degree. You know, we didn't move into our neighborhood because that was the best house on the market. We were all there because it's all a part of God's design. God specifically determined every aspect of that. And we're going to see why he did that. Turn over to John 15. And the title of the message tonight is going to be Remaining in the Vine. And so we're only going to look at verses 1 through 8 tonight. We may not make it all the way through 8, but we're going to try. In chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible reads, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The Bible is very clear. Who's the vine? Jesus. Who's the gardener? Who's the branches? We are. God is he starts off very clear. But everything that we read here is so conditional. It's subjective to each one of us. God uses the word "if" here several times. If we do this, if we do that, if we remain in the vine. So God is saying, you know what? If you do this, there are some things that's going to happen. But if you don't do this, there are also some things that's going to happen. And so tonight we're going to talk about both. What happens if we remain in the vine? But what also happens if we decide not to remain in the vine? Because we do have that right. We can choose to not remain in the vine. And we'll talk about what are some things that causes us to not to be able to not remain in the vine. You know, in verse 2, I want to pick up here. It says in chapter 15, it says, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. The Bible is very clear that God is trying to prune us. The Bible says that God wants us to be even more fruitful than we already are. And I think about our fruit. You know, I think about the fruits of the Spirit. You know, these are things that God says, you know what, man, we can grow even more in. Then I think about the fruits of just our day-to-day work, you know, helping someone become a Christian. These are things that we can grow even more in. My wife would kill me if she hears this. She's going to say, Tony, that doesn't make sense. You can't say even more then. But when you're with the guys, it works, all right? So here, what is God really saying to us as men? God is saying, listen, I want to prune you. He says, I want to make your life even better. But again, it's conditional. If you allow him to. God is right there trying to do this, but it's up to us. Will we allow God to do that? The Bible also says that God's word washes us. And I'm going to stay on this point for a second here. God's word cleanses us. So, in general, as men, a lot of us, we like to do stuff that gets us dirty, whether it's working on cars, whether it's playing sports. We do things that causes us to get dirty, and we have to go and get ourselves clean. But the Bible says here in verse 2, the Bible is clear. It says, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. God's word cleans us. So how clean are we today? Do we allow God's word to penetrate our heart? Do we allow God's word to wash us? You know, we know the scriptures that talks about us using the word to wash our wives. But what about using the same word to allow our brothers and our sisters to wash us, to help us be clean? Because at the end of the day, this is what we need. Turn over to John 13. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures here. In John 13, verses 6 to 8. He says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part in me. It is so important that we allow God's word to wash us every day. The Bible is clear. When we don't allow God's word to wash us, we have no part with God. So that same vine that we're trying to remain in, we have no part of it. Now, a lot of times we think, oh, I get washed. I go to church on Sunday. I come to church on Wednesday occasionally. So I hear the word. But God is talking about allowing his word to penetrate your heart, to change your life. Not just hearing a message on Sunday or hearing a message on Wednesday. He's talking about every day, a deep, intimate connection with him that's going to cause you to change. Amen. And especially most of us that's married, you know, I guarantee you our wives wouldn't want us to only shower twice a week. That would not go over well in most of our houses, right? We don't want our wives to only shower twice a week. Right? If you have roommates, you don't want your roommates to only shower twice a week. And definitely if you have kids, if they're boys, you definitely don't want them to only shower twice a week. But we have to be careful because we can treat our relationship with God just like that. I can make it off twice a week. I'm fine with Sunday and Wednesday. I'm good. And God is saying, well, Jesus is telling Peter here, wait a minute. Unless I wash you clean, you will have no part with me. And so as I was thinking about that, I was just thinking about how many times have I just gone through the motion? How many times have I just got up and read my Bible, or have I got up and I've prayed and it had no impact on my heart? I forgot what I read sometimes 5 minutes after I read it. It did not motivate me to change or to do anything. And my fear is that I'm not the only one who goes through that from time to time. But what happened is, man, I am choosing to disconnect myself from the vine at that point. I am choosing to make a decision that, you know what, man, the rest of this day, I got it under control. Whatever happened, it will be on my doing. Turn over to Ephesians 5 real quick. In Ephesians 5, we're going to look in verses 25. And we're going to see, what does God's word actually do for us? So in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word. Now, as we read this passage, we tend to automatically transfer to spousal relationships. But there's a bigger connection that God is trying to make here. He's trying to help us to understand that there's a couple of things going on in this passage. In verse 25, it says to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water. So this same word, the same Bible, it does a lot. It connects us with God, but it also makes us holy. And it cleanses us at the same time. And so I don't know about you, but there's so much garbage and so much junk that goes into my head and into my heart. It need to be cleansed every day. My mind and my heart, if I go 2 days in a row, I'm a mess. And usually the recipient of that mess is my wife, is my children, and you guys. The people that I'm trying to help get to know God, they're recipients of my mess. And so a lot of times, because if I don't make a decision to get into God's word and allow God's word to cleanse me, I choose to not remain in the vine. I make a conscious decision that, you know what, I'm okay today. I'm okay with walking around dirty today. I was clean last week. And we've all heard, you know, people, you know, when you see people, they have the running joke. Oh, man, you look great today, or you clean up well, or you smell great. It's like, you know, yeah, you know, I clean up once a month. And sometimes we even really think about what we're saying, you know. You get a nice haircut or shave. Oh, you look good. Yeah, you know, I do this once a month or every 2 weeks. But we cannot treat the word of God, our relationship with God, like we do haircuts and shaving. And a lot of times it is so easy to do that. It is so easy to, you know what, hey, I'll just listen to a spiritual station on the radio on the way to work. And that's my feel of God. Or, you know what, before I go to bed, I have this little app on my phone. It'll send me a verse. I'll read that, and I've connected with God. But have you really connected? Mm-hmm. Have you really allowed God's word to penetrate your heart? My question tonight is, also, do we allow others to wash us with the word? Do you have somebody in your life specifically who you can sit down with, who can open up God's word and help you be more like Jesus? See, we've been talking about the culture here in the church. This is what we're talking about. This is a part of it. We're talking about having relationships with one another that we can sit down and say, hey, you know what, David, man, I've been struggling with X, Y, Z. And he can open God's word and allow God's word to change my heart. But it's too easy. It's so many times that, you know what, we rely on individuals. Hey, I'm just going to get some advice from the elders. Or I'm just going to talk to the staff. Or I'll reach out to a family group leader. These people are great. Don't get me wrong. Great individuals. But they aren't the word of God. And what happens is we take this advice and it works for a little while. But because God's word didn't clean us, we get right back dirty. And so, brothers, I beseech you, we really have to change that thinking here. We have to be getting in God's word and allowing others in here to help us to change with God's words. We can't ride solo anymore and think we can defeat Satan like that.
Right.
It's not going to happen. We need each other. I need you guys. You guys need each other. It is time for us to step up as men and realize that, you know what, man, I want to be clean. How am I going to get clean? I'm going to get in God's word, and I'm going to allow others to wash me with God's word as well. The thing is, we can't just hear God's word. It's great. I mean, I love John. Me and John hung out the other day, got food. I can't just allow John to share the scripture with me and I walk away and say, that's great. Tony, I did exactly what you said. I let somebody else help me with God's word. We have to do what it say. Mm-hmm. Because if we just listen to the word and not do what it say, the Bible says we deceive ourselves.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you. I do not like getting tricked. But what's even worse is when I trick my own self. You know, I'm like, man, if I'm going to get tricked, at least let somebody else do it so I can have a justified reason to go and try to trick them, you know. But God is saying, wait a minute, man, allow someone to use my word to help you. But then I need you to do your part and do what it say. Don't just sit there and hear it, because that's what can happen, guys, if we aren't careful. Sundays and Wednesdays, we can hear the best messages in the world, but nothing changes. We'll come right back the following Sunday and we'll forget everything that we heard the week before, because Satan dirties us up through the week and we never got a chance to get ourselves clean again. Well, God is saying, stop. Let's get clean.
Amen.
Turn back over to John chapter 15 again. And we're going to pick up in verse 4. This is the most important verse that, guys, we have to get. We have to understand this verse right here. Verse 4 says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in me. I'm sorry, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. It is so important that we are in God, that we are remaining in Jesus. Because here's the deal. Once we step outside of that, we're on our own. We're open target for Satan. I want you guys to think about for a second here. What is it? What is that verse really saying, to remain in Jesus? What is Jesus really telling us? Because I've read this 1,000 times, and I'll tell you, the last 2 days that I've been reading this passage, it has really helped my heart. Because as I think about remaining in Jesus, I think about Jesus is absolute here. You know, this isn't one of those conditional phrases that he's been talking about. He's telling us, hey, you must remain in me. The whole attitude of this passage changes. He's like, you must remain in me. And I think a lot of times we can read this as if this is still conditional. Yeah, it read just like verse 2 read. That's okay. But what does remaining in him mean? Does it mean, you know what, I can show up when I want. It's okay if I don't show up for church, for Sunday. Is that really remaining in Jesus? Is it okay if I read 3 or 4 times out of the week, if I spend time with Jesus? It's okay if I pray occasionally. What does that mean to you specifically, to remain in him? I think to me, it means a connection. It means connecting with God intimately. It means this is the only place I want to be. I want to remain right here. You know, I was sharing with my wife and my son earlier, and I was like, man, Jerome, them aren't in here, but they made this curry chicken and this rice, and they brought it over, and I was sitting here, and that's one of my favorite dishes. Oh, man, I love Jamaican food. And so we were sitting there eating it, and I was thinking, wow, I could sit here all night and do this. I don't have to move. I don't need a TV. I don't need anything. I am fine with just a fork and a plate. And you could even sit the pot beside me. You know, that's just how I felt like, man, this is it. Mm-hmm. You know, do we feel like that when it comes to our time with God? Like, man, I am good right now.
Come on.
I am fine. Just give me my Bible and a spot to stand or sit, and God, I'm good. I don't need nothing else. God is wanting us to feel like that. God is wanting us to be like that. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. Because in our walk with God, he takes it very serious. In 1 John chapter 2, we're going to read verse 6. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience in his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. And I share this passage so that we remember, man, this is a journey. God wants us to walk this journey with him in love. Because here's the deal. Remaining in the vine, it's got to be something that we love, that we fall in love with. Or our hearts will fall in love with something else. Mm. There will be so many other things that will pull us away. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's other women. Maybe it's you fill in the blank as to what can pull me out of this vine. You don't have to turn there, but in First Peter, I'll share with you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, this is what the Bible says. In verse 21, it says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. God set the perfect example. Jesus Christ set the perfect example for us as men that we should follow. You know, it later goes on to talk about there was no sin found on his lips, all this stuff. But what I want to talk about is the example that he set for us. Bible makes it clear that we have an example to follow. How do we stay in the vine? By following Jesus' example. You know, the Bible talks about in the first scripture we read in John 8 that, you know, man, to the Jews who have believed, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple. How do we stay in the vine? We hold to his teachings. This is the only way, the only chance, the only hope that we have of remaining in the vine is by staying in God's word. How serious do we take that? This has to be our goal. John 10. Please turn over there. in John 10, verse 30. I know we're moving around in the Bible a lot, but this passage should sum up everything we're talking about tonight. In John 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Right now, someone accused you of not being one with the Father. What would the verdict be? If somebody came up to you right now and said, you and the Father are not one, would they be telling the truth? If someone came up to you at this very moment and said, no, you are not in the vine. You are not, you do not have a real relationship with God. Would they be telling the truth? Because see, a lot of times we base our relationship with God on how we feel. Right? It's based on, okay, you know what? If my bills are paid, if I have food in my house, I've been going to church regularly, I'm doing good with God. I haven't cursed. I haven't smoked. I haven't cheated. I haven't done anything in a couple of weeks. So I'm doing great with God. And we can get a feeling of security about our walk with God based on our actions. And a lot of times our actions are so far off base. And we don't even recognize it. By the way you live your life, can you be accused of not being one with God? See, I want people to know, yeah, that guy's been with God today. I want people to know when they see my brothers in Christ in this room, whether you at work, whether you at school, whether you're in your community, you in your neighborhood, wow, that guy right there, he's been with God. And it's obvious that you've been with God. It's obvious by the way you talk, by the way you carry yourself, by the way you treat others, by the way we treat each other. It's obvious that we've been with God. Can people look at this church and say, wow, now those are some people who are with God? Can they look at us by the way we interact with each other? By the way we interact with the sisters over there, by the way we interact with the children, can they look at us and tell, man, those guys are just like Jesus? Or what are they saying? Guys, this is the things that we have to take responsibility for if we want to remain in the vine. I want to close here with two quick things, because I really want you guys to understand, this isn't about the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. That's not what this is about. That's not why we get together, because we have a great music ministry, or Steve preaches the word great, or whoever preaches. That's not why we come and do this, right? It's got to be about God. If it's about anything else, you know what will happen? We'll start coming late, or we'll stop coming. Or we'll come sporadically when we feel like it, if there's nothing else more pressing. Because it's not about God. It is about whatever has occupied our hearts. That's why the Bible said, that's why Jesus said, God and I are one. We are together. When you see him, you're going to see me. Are we like that? Do people see us with God, or do they see us walking with Satan? Because the Bible says, man, God is making his impart through us as if we are his ambassadors. So God is calling each one of us to represent him. And I want us all to represent him accurately. Just because we come to church Sundays and Wednesdays don't mean you're one with God. It doesn't. You can come to church for 20 years. It doesn't mean you're one with God. How do you know when you're one with God? The Bible is clear. You have to remain in the vine to stay one with God. But when you're one with God, your relationship with God, you allow God to wash you and prune you. And pruning, a lot of times, is not good. Do you realize, me and my daughter were studying this out this afternoon, with rose bushes, even as you prune them, do you realize, I used to always think, well, you prune when it gets bad. That's not the case. You prune even when it's doing well, so it can do even better. Now imagine, you're doing great. Oh, I'm studying the Bible with people. I'm reading my Bible every day. I'm coming to church. I'm loving the brothers. I'm taking sisters out. Why is God pruning me? Why is he disciplining me? The Bible says so that you will be even more fruitful. So that your walk with God will be even more glorious. But ultimately, it says he does that so that God is glorified. I don't know anybody in here who buys plants or flowers so that they can look trashy. When we had our rose bushes in front of our house, we wanted everybody to see them. We wanted people to go by and look at them and see they look great. Guys, that's what we are to God. God cleans us up. He gets us ready so he can show the world, wow, here's Russ. Look how great he looks. And I'm not talking about the physical. Now, Russ is a good-looking guy. I'm talking about the spiritual. When people see him, do they see this is what God created? But how about you? Do you guys feel like that? Do you guys feel like, man, I'm on display for God? God, show me off today. And I'm not talking about it in an arrogant sense. I'm talking about it in a sense that I'm so secure in my walk with God that, man, I can't wait to get out of my house today. I can't wait to see who God's going to put in front of me. I don't even have to say a word. God will do it. Man, are our relationships with God to that point? If not, we have to ask ourselves why. The Bible is clear. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. A lot of times we try to do things on our own. As issues come up, I need to pay this rent. I need to get my car fixed. My kids need braces or whatever. There's things that we take control over that we don't even consider talking to God about. Do you guys know the Bible says that if you remain in God, conditional, if you remain in God and in his word, that whatever you ask for, he'll give to you. We don't believe that though, do we? Do we really believe that? Y'all think y'all convincing me with that? Y'all didn't convince yourselves. I'll tell you why we don't believe that. Because it's Satan's job to detour us. God has a plan for us. He said it from the beginning of the Bible to the end. He has a plan for us. He really does. But what happened is we allow Satan's detours to get us off track. And it takes faith to believe that, man, all I have to do is remain in God and his word, and he'll do whatever I ask. God's never lied, so I know that's not a lie. But all I have to do is just believe that and remain in the word. So why don't I believe it? Because I haven't remained in him and his word. And the Bible says that faith comes through hearing the word of God. So hearing the word of God twice a week, brothers, is not enough. We need to hear God every day. Every day, as much as we can stand, as much as we have time to hear him. That's hearing the word of God. That's what's going to increase our faith. Once we increase our faith, we have to do something with it, right? But we allow Satan to get us off on a detour. Here's the scary part, though. Not everybody might be able to make it back. Because if God is going left and we choose at some point to go right, because we think our way might be the best way or the only way that we know at the time, we might not make it back. Because Satan plays for keeps. He's not playing two-hand touch. He's playing tackle. So guys, we have to be prepared. We have to be in the Word of God. That is the only chance we have. So that, man, our faith can increase. You know, I want us to fear God more than we fear the world. Because until we get that healthy fear of God, opposed to the healthy fear of the world, and what I mean by that, we got to wrap up here in like 2 minutes, but what I mean by that is we fear the world so much that we worry about, oh, what is my job going to say when I'm 2 minutes late? What is this mortgage company going to say when I miss this payment? But we can go weeks without giving God his. We can go weeks without tithing. And there's no repercussions whatsoever. We can go weeks without serving, having people in our homes. Months even. We can go weeks without reading the Bible. We can go weeks without talking to people about God. And there's no repercussions. There's none. And we fear what our jobs and what people will say more than we fear what God says. We have to change that. Right. Guys, 2017 is going to be an amazing year. But it will only be amazing if we make that decision to be a part of it. Right? If we decide, I'm going to remain in the vine. I'm going to be in my word daily. I'm going to allow brothers to wash me with the word. I'm going to start washing other brothers with the word. I'm going to be faithful in my walk with God.
Right.
I guarantee you, God will do some amazing things here in the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. To God be the glory.